obviously, by the Christmas tree, and Freddie obviously was very excited about Christmas. That's right. And one thing I love doing at Christmas, or that we're going to do as a family, is a Christmas puzzle. And we did that recently. My kids love doing puzzles. I love doing them with them. Malachi and Jacob, more so Jacob. He's our little puzzle machine, aren't you? You do a fantastic job of your puzzles. We did a puzzle recently. Who else likes doing puzzles? Anyone? Yeah, adults, who likes doing puzzles? What's the biggest puzzle you've ever done? How many pieces? 2,000. Unbelievable. Matthew? 100? Yeah. All right. Anyone beat 2,000? That's a big one. 2,000 pieces. Well done. Well, we did a 100-piece puzzle recently with the Christmas nativity scene. Okay, Malachi and Jacob did it. It's on the screen now. Here it is. Right here. There it is. So this is going to be a Christmas tradition. I can't really do that because it's going to fall, but you can see it on the screen. That's what we did the other day. And isn't it a beautiful puzzle, don't you think? No. Oh, hang on. There's a piece missing. There's a piece missing. Who took my piece? Did you take my piece? Did you take my piece? Matthew, did you take my piece? Oh, I did. Oh, really? I reckon one of the adults here took my piece. What do you reckon? Do you guys want to help me find my missing piece? All right. Well, I reckon the adults are hiding them underneath their chair. So does everyone look underneath their chair? I reckon someone's stolen my piece. Who took my piece, my puzzle piece? Check right under there. Come on, adults, get right under there. Surely it's there. Right underneath the chair. I reckon someone's stolen it and hid it underneath the chair. What do you reckon? I actually think it's over here. I can see it. Mel!
What have I done? Oh, is it on a
wall? You took my puzzle piece. How could you steal my puzzle piece? That's a silly thing to do. I'm joking, by the way. That was unbelievable, Mel. Seriously. Come on, sit back down. Very, very naughty. Very naughty. Was that a nice way that I just spoke to Mel then? No, I don't think so either. It wasn't a very nice thing to say. Even though she may have taken my piece, I shouldn't have spoken to Mel like that, should I? And that's what we're talking about today, everybody. Because what I did just then was disrupt the peace of the room, of the space. Who knows what peace is? It's a different kind of peace. Who knows what peace is? Malachi?
Peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet. Who else knows what peace is? Matthew?
If you're angry at someone.
Yes. That's the opposite of peace, isn't it? Yeah. Anyone else? Mount Jacob? Yeah, that's right. Well, there's a few understandings of peace here. We've got a video, guys, with other kids explaining what peace is. So grab a seat, Jacob. We're going to watch this video now that Wally's going to put on for us. Here we go. Take a look at the screen. I'm going to turn it up.
It means that you can make peace by making your body be calm.
If you leave the space, you distribute.
Settled and quiet.
When you're listening to other people.
Just being calm.
You can be free to be creative.
Family.
Harmony.
A state of enlightenment.
For me personally, like being asleep, like I think it's probably one of the more peaceful things you can do.
Whenever you get to do exactly what you love.
Community.
Being content.
Not being afraid to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do.
Fulfilled.
The element of being nice to someone.
That you have space. space for yourself. Pretty. Pillows and blankets and beds. School. It will look great. Being quiet.
So being able to agree on things and compromising.
Taking care of your friends.
Probably treating others the way that you would want to be treated.
People playing.
Setting aside differences to come together for the greater good.
It would look like a place that had direct communication as a real basis.
Really big trees. I feel like trees make people nicer.
People think about other people before they say stuff.
Just being chill with one another.
Respecting everyone's opinion and not judging anyone.
Holy Covelli! I just feel so loved here, and it's a big community.
Go. There's some ideas about peace. That's what they think peace is. But to really understand peace, we need to turn to something very important. What do you think we need to turn to? The Bible. The Bible has some awesome understandings about peace. And there's a word in the Bible that is in an old language. Malachi has been learning a new language. What language have you been learning? French. So it's not in French. But this word is very, very old. It's the Hebrew language, okay? It's in the Old Testament, and it's the Hebrew word for peace. And it's on the screen now, shalom. Can everyone say shalom? Is that a cool little word? Shalom. So if you go to where the World Cup is or in the Middle East somewhere, people will come up to you and say shalom. It's a way of saying hello and greeting someone. It says peace. But this word peace is different and means more than just the absence of conflict, which we had, or doing the wrong thing. It's much more than that. The word shalom, peace, means wholeness, completeness, togetherness. And so it talks about our relationship, our friendship with God. And what we do sometimes is we do the bad things sometimes, don't we? If we lie, or if we treat someone badly, like I just did to Mel, or if we don't do the right thing, that's called sin. It's not the way God desires us to live. And what that does is creates a barrier and rips us apart from God, our relationship with God, which is a problem. And people that don't have... What's that? No, I'm not Jacob. But what we see when people are not at peace with God or in a loving relationship with God is that they do some pretty silly things. And across the world, around the world, there's a lot of bad stuff happening, isn't there? A lot of conflict, a lot of fighting, a lot of bad stuff all across the world. The world is missing peace. And so we need to go on a journey to find missing peace. Do you want to come with me? All right, we're going to get on a plane, and our first stop is Australia. It's Australia. There it is. We don't really need to go on a plane to go to Australia, do we? Because this is our country. We live in it. Do you reckon we can find the missing peace in Australia? Do you reckon Australia is a peaceful country? Well, you kids may not understand this, but adults will. There's a little measurement that I didn't know about until this week, called the Global Peace Index. Anyone heard of that? No. I've never heard of it until this week. And it measures the level of peacefulness in countries, how nice they are to one another. Where do you think Australia ranks? Are we the number one peaceful nation? Do you reckon we can find peace here? No, we're number 27. 27 in the world, which is pretty phenomenal. So missing... That's right, and we're over there. But missing peace is not found in Australia. So we need to go somewhere else. Let's get on the plane, we go to another country. Where do you think we can go to find missing peace? What do you reckon? What country?
England.
America, maybe?
England,
maybe? Anyone else want to tell me a country?
Portugal,
yeah, maybe. Jacob? Fiji, maybe? Anyone else? Any countries? No, that's okay. I got one in my mind, obviously, because I planned today, obviously. So we're going to Cambodia. Has anyone been to Cambodia before? I've been to Cambodia before on a mission trip. And here are all my friends, my little boys and girls that we met in Cambodia. That's Vondo, that's The parents is a children's home. So they lost all their mummies and daddies when they were really young. And this home has taken them in and looked after them. And people here would have heard me speak about Vondo before and his story, really encouraging, incredible story. But this is my friends in Cambodia. Do you reckon they look like peaceful people? Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Cambodia doesn't have peace either. They're actually number 67 or 69 on the list. So they're even worse than us. And the reason why is because they had a ruler or a king that wasn't very nice. And he did some pretty bad things in Cambodia. It's a lot better now, but he did some pretty bad things that results in not much peace in Cambodia. And that's the reality for peace. Peace is dependent about, or peace is all about who is in charge. If you've got a bad king, a bad ruler, a bad prime minister, you're not going to have peace in this world, right? So peace is all about who is in charge. But the same is true for our lives. Who we put in charge of our lives depends upon how much peace we have. And we can't go around the country to find, or the world to find missing peace. The only place that we can turn to find the missing peace is one single person. Who do you think that person is? No. Who do you reckon? Jesus. Jesus is the missing peace. He's the one that we find the missing peace in. So if we come back to my puzzle, and the missing piece that Mel didn't really take, I just put it there, just so you know. Here's my missing piece. Do you reckon it fits? Who wants to come put it on the puzzle? Yeah. Here we go. No. Jacob, just one person. You can come back later. Does it fit? Jacob, I've got something for you later on, mate. It's all good. It fits. So who's the missing piece?
Jesus.
Jesus is the missing piece. So our puzzle is now complete. Well done, guys. Good job for finding that missing piece. Excuse me. But again, the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, is the one who can make peace with God on our behalf. So when we talked about that word shalom, wholeness, reconciliation, togetherness, Jesus is the one who can bring us back into relationship with God, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's the meaning of Christmas. And the Bible speaks about this, and Malachi is going to read out a passage from the Bible. You ready? You want to read it off the screen? All right, here you go, have your microphone. Off you go. Yep, off you go.
A child be born to us, God will give a son to us. He will be responsible for leading the people. His name will be the Wonderful Counselor, Powerful God, Father who lives forever, Peace of Peace, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6.
Good boy. Well done, buddy. So that passage was written way before Jesus was born. It's all right, Jacob, we've got something coming for you, mate. Come on, it's all right. We've got something for you. So again, the Bible tells us that Jesus came to bring peace and goodwill to all. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, isn't it? That's what we hear about. But the reality is those who make Jesus king, those who put Jesus as number one in their lives, they will enjoy peace. Peace with God first and foremost, and other people. And Jacob's not experiencing much peace right now, are you, buddy? Don't worry about it. We're coming back to you. So who is in charge of our lives? That's the question. Who are we putting in charge? Is it someone else or is it Jesus? Because those who put Jesus as number one in your hearts and lives, you'll enjoy peace. They say don't work with kids. It's all good. You'll be right, mate. I need your help in a minute with the Christmas tree, so hang around. But God doesn't promise that we won't have conflict or we won't have hardships or we won't have suffering, but he does promise to be with us in that. Give us the peace, the comfort, the strength to get through all the hardships in life. Again, the answer to this world or the missing piece is Jesus. And again, that's what Christmas is all about. And that's what the angels came. Do you remember the angels in the Christmas story? Who did they speak to? Do you remember? The shepherds? They came to proclaim peace, but not just for now, but a time when there would be true global peace all across the world. And we've got another Bible passage where the angels speak about that. Who wants to read that out for us? Matthew, do you want to have a turn? Here you go.
Then a very large group of angels from heaven joined the first angel. All the angels were praising God, saying, "Give glory to God in heaven, and on earth let there be peace to the people who please God." Luke 2, wait, is it verse?
Yeah, 13 to 14. Good job. Well done, mate. Thanks for that. Yay! So again, those who make Jesus king of their lives, those who put him number one, those who accept him into our lives, they will have peace with God. Jesus is our missing peace, yeah? Another final Bible passage for us is Ephesians chapter 2, 12 to 14. It says, "You had no hope. You did not know God. Yes, at one time you were far away from God, but now through Christ Jesus, you who are brought near to God through the blood of Christ's death, because of Christ, we now have peace." Why do we have peace? What did Jesus do? He died on the cross. So that's why Christmas is so important, because he brought us back into relationship with God once again. And that's why we have the Christmas tree. This brings us to the Christmas tree right now. Who has a Christmas tree in their house? Christmas trees are cool, aren't they? I did this Christmas tree with Jakey on Friday. Come on, mate. This is your time to shine. The Christmas tree. But it's not finished. What's it missing?
The star.
And it's actually missing a few more decorations as well. We didn't do all of them, did we, Jake? No. So stand right here. You can stand here. Yeah, stand right there. So who knows what the Christmas tree represents or what it means? What's the meaning of the Christmas tree? Anyone know?
A star.
A star, yes. What does that mean? Do we know? Any of our parents or adults know the significance of the Christmas tree? You're on the right track, absolutely. So the reason we have the star, as Malachi said, is to represent the star that the wise men, and there wasn't actually probably three, there was probably many of them. They traveled in around three, so that's why we have three wise men, but there's probably more than that. They traveled to Bethlehem following the star, but it also represents that Jesus can be our guiding light in life as well. He can lead us through the troubles and help us navigate the troubles in life. So we've got the star here to put on. Who reckons they can reach the top? Jakey, do you want to try and do that? There you go. You can finish the job. Oh dear, don't knock it over. Right at the top there, mate. There you go. Well done. Good job. We'll fit it on. So there's our star. And we also have decorations, don't we? Trees have decorations. And the decorations, what they represent, well, first of all, I'll go to the tree. The whole tree actually represents Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It has a lot of meaning to different people, but for Christians, that's what it represents. And these little branches, they actually represent the crown of thorns that Jesus wore on his head. So there's symbolic importance with the Christmas tree. But these ornaments or these decorations, who has decorations on their tree? Anyone? Yeah? A few of us? Getting up to them, that's fair enough. We've got to get up to ours too. We haven't put all ours on yet. But we've got a few decorations here that I want each of you to try and put on the tree for us, because they actually represent our lives, spiritually speaking, in terms of our virtues that we develop. We have ornaments on our lives too, positive ones like love, joy, peace, forbearance, self-control, kindness. These are the things we've been looking at as a church over the last little while, but they are our ornaments that we need to display for people. Amen. So there's significance in that as well. But we've got three important decorations for you to put on the tree. The first one is a present. Why is a present important? Because Jesus is the greatest gift that any one of us could ever receive. So who wants to put on a present? Matthew? There you go, whack up a present. We've got another one here. Put on the tree. Put it on wherever you want. You want to put it on? There's a present for you. Can you put it on the tree? You go, another one for you. Well done, guys. You want to put the present on. All right, so while they put on the presents, there's another one here. It's a star. Again, same reason we have the star on the top, because Jesus is our light. Well done, Marissa. He's our shining light. So who hasn't done one yet? There you go, girls. You want to do that one? No? That's okay. Samuel, do you want to do a star? Malachi wants a star. There you go. Whack it on. And the final one we have are little balls. And the reason we have this is because Jesus is eternal. He's everlasting. He never changes. He's always going to be with us. Always. So this. Samuel, you want to do the ball for us? Who hasn't done one yet? Who wants to do one? You can do another one. You want to do another one? Jakey, do you want to do another one? Finish it off. There you go. So whack him on. Once you put it on, take a seat. So that's why we have the Christmas tree. But there's one more thing missing that's really important. What do you think it is? What do you reckon? You want to go put them on, Jakey? Go turn them on. No, no, this way. Go this way. The black one. Yep. There we go. The Christmas tree's finished. Well done. So there you go. So Jesus, again, is the missing piece that we need in our lives. Amen. And his heart, and he loves each and every one of us, and his heart is that we will come to know him, particularly this Christmas season. So I'm going to pray for us all. Is that okay? And then we're going to sing one final song that relates to all that we've been talking about. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Has everyone heard that song before? Yes. And then we're going to go and have a special morning tea outside. So let me pray, and then we're going to sing one last song together. All right, let's talk to God. King Jesus, we again thank you for the awesome God that you are. Heart in prayer. My heart in prayer today is that each and every one of us would walk away from this space, encouraged, yes, but desiring to know you more and more. Thank you for this season. Thank you for what Christmas brings. And we pray for peace in this world, in Jesus' name. We pray that you would intervene in all the situations and the challenges around our globe at this moment. But we ultimately pray and ask that you would bring peace to all mankind in terms of a restored relationship with God, which we know that you have accomplished for us and paved the way for us as we accept you into our lives. So thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for everyone here. You love each and every one of us. And my prayer and my heart is that, again, that we would know you more and more and desire to grow in understanding of you. Bless us all this Christmas time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.